The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what Sports Talk Radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this October 23rd, 2025. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us on just another perfect day in the Auburn Opelika area. A jam-packed show for you on this Thursday afternoon. Three wonderful guests that are going to join us as they do every single Thursday throughout the football season. We got some breaking news going on. We've got all sorts of things to dive into on the show today. Christian, happy Thursday, sir. How are you? You're feeling a lot better, which is good. I think you're feeling better,
right? Yeah, I would say so. The right ear is still not really usable, but everything else is feeling fantastic.
Good thing is, in radio, you don't need to hear.
No, you don't need to hear. You just need to make really loud, bold picks, and that's what's going to happen to... No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. But no, it's going to be a really, really fun day. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday?
I would say so. You said happy Thursday to me, so I was nice enough
to
bring it back. Yeah. Happy Thursday. Hopefully happy Friday.
Saturday.
Yeah. That's exactly how it works. We have, my goodness, a whole lot to discuss here on the show today. Not as much Auburn-specific stuff to start the show with our two and 2:15 segments, but can tie Auburn into some of this somehow, and we'll find a way to it. 2:30, we got Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network telling us everything we need to know about Auburn and Arkansas, the mindset of the game, the leash possibly of Jackson Arnold, and his thoughts on some baseball and basketball news in there as well. And then we get to have a fun conversation, something that's already come up. We joked about it yesterday on the way out, but the fun conversation of possible quarterback changes for Auburn football this weekend in week 9. It took 9 weeks, actually, this time for there to be, or maybe 8, and then now 9 is the legitimate conversation for it. Also news about redshirting possibly not even being a possibility, not even being an option for quarterbacks in the near future. We're going to discuss all of that before Coach Keith Etheridge of the Auburn High Tigers joins us to start hour number two.
Yeah, so if you're looking to be involved in the show today, the text box is the best way to do that. Especially with all of our guests and things. If you have something you want us to talk to them about, ask them about, anything of that nature, you could get us shoot us a text right now at 334-784-1067. Even anything we're talking about that you want to get your thoughts out there for, you can shoot us a text. 334-784-1067. Text box is open all show long today. And the phone lines are open right now. This is your best time to get in if you want to be on the air and talk to us over the phone. 334-321-1390. That number again, 334-321-1390.
We mentioned Coach Keith Etheridge at 3 o'clock. Then we have some more high school conversations as we sat here for 20, 30 minutes looking at all of our playoff brackets. Man, the high school football world right now is wild. The amount of teams that are 4-2 in the region or 5-1 in the region, where one team has clinched the playoffs, but you don't know if they're the 1 seed or the 4 seed. Like, there's legitimate possibilities for so much going on right now. And then Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast, joining us at 3:30.
Yep. And so let's jump into it. It looks like we have a phone call, so we'll take that as we start today's show. 334-321-1390. We're throwing you hot on the air. You're the first one up. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday, guys.
What's
it's
up?
Lonnie from Lochipoca.
All the way down there in Lochipoca. What's up, Lonnie? We're doing all right.
Well, I wasn't going to make a prediction on this game, but I've changed my mind.
Uh-oh.
Everybody and their mother and their brother and their sister's cousin, however you want to say it, are picking Arkansas in this game. So I'm going to have to take the Auburn Tigers to get it done and keep Hugh the Hack around for another week.
You sound very 31. Happy and confident making that prediction.
Oh, yeah. I'm ecstatic
by it. I was
about
to say, you don't believe that, do you?
I mean, the fact that everybody likes Arkansas, yeah. I mean, I do like Auburn. I always like it when everybody likes one side. I mean, that's what I'm seeing on Twitter and everything else. Everybody's just picking Arkansas. So, you know, the other thing is it's probably going to be raining, and I think that bodes well for our defense. So, as much as I want you to hack out of here, I really don't think they're going to fire him. I swear. I'm starting to think that as long as he is able to just somehow make a bowl game this year, I mean, I think if he goes 5-7 and loses to Bama, he probably gets fired. But if he goes 6-6 and doesn't get destroyed by Bama, I don't think they're going to fire him. I really don't.
That'd make for a long offseason, Lonnie. A long offseason.
Well, and with the schedule we got next year.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I'll be listening to the rest of the show. It sounds like it's going to be a good one. War Eagle, guys.
Appreciate the call, Lonnie. Always good to hear from you. 334-321-1390. I'll say this before we get into the big news of the day. The only thing that I think John Cohen could use as not an excuse, but at least some logical reasoning, right? Of some fans would say, well, if you're going to fire him, why hasn't it happened already? You're on a 4-game losing streak. You've lost at home. You lost on the road, and blah, 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 right? Why hasn't it already happened is what some fans are saying. The difference in what a loss on Saturday for Auburn, the difference in that versus the last four, is this is an unranked Arkansas team. This is an Arkansas team that's winless in the SEC. This is an Arkansas team that has about a third of the talent you do, other than their quarterback,
yeah,
who's being coached by an interim right now. That's the difference. The other teams were ranked. The other teams have shots to make the college football playoff. Still, all four of them. And I totally get that. Do I think that's an excuse? No, I don't. But that would be the difference, right? If Auburn were to lose this game on Saturday, you're losing to an 0-3 Arkansas team in the SEC, a team that hasn't sniffed the top 25 in quite some time, and a team that literally fired its head coach middle of the season. Clearly, surely, hopefully, we could see the difference, or leadership could see the difference in losing to Oklahoma, Texas A&M, Georgia, and Missouri versus losing a game to Arkansas.
It also just makes it that much more frustrating, though, because you hear all about, you know, Freeze opened that up on Monday, talking about, you know, our team, those four losses are teams that are 25-3 or whatever the case may be, and it's like,
I think they were close in those games, right?
Very much so. Yeah. As a whole, you're really close.
That's what I've heard.
But if that's the comparison, you feel like it's even more of a soft mindset because that's all that Freeze has asked for and came in. We've talked about it so many times, walking into SEC Media Days, where he voluntarily said, yeah, our expectation is to compete for a college football playoff this year. And so those four games that you lost are teams that have those conversations. If you then compare that to Arkansas, that's putting you an entire tier below, in my opinion, of, okay, well, as long as you can beat that team, then it shows that you're somewhere in the middle. I just feel like that's a, although it might not be the incorrect mentality, I feel like it's very soft on the mindset of where Auburn is versus where we think they should be.
What'd you think about Lonnie's mindset there? And again, we appreciate you calling in, my friend. Always good to hear from you. What'd you think about his mindset, the idea that everybody's picking Arkansas in this game? Because he's right. He's absolutely right. Everybody's picking Arkansas in this game. And I don't know. I haven't decided on whether people are truly picking Arkansas for what they've seen from the Razorbacks in the last 2 weeks, right? Since they fired Pittman with Petrino, who have given Tennessee and A&M everything that they wanted.
They're just anti-Auburn.
Or are they just picking against Auburn?
Yeah.
Which are both legitimate bets, would you say?
Ooh.
Hmm.
Funny. I don't know what that word is.
Don't worry. I'll tell you what it means.
Sure.
but genuinely, are you? Do you think that has any sort of factor here?
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely.
You think so?
I think it plays a big factor on simply the, especially the amount of people that have thrown big money Auburn's way this year. Again, just the guys on social media that broadcast and watch the games and put Auburn money line and things like that. And not saying that they're the ones that are betting on Arkansas this weekend, but it's much more of the I've been hurt by Auburn too many times. I've seen what they've done. I've now watched them 4 straight weeks and watched them find ways to continue to lose games. And then you look at Talen Green and you see the offensive talent that is on that field, and you feel like it's the perfect storm of you're emotionally not betting against Auburn while also emotionally taking the talent of Talen Green to put up points against an Auburn team that just simply can't.
Yeah, we just had somebody text in and say they're a Bama fan, but they are picking Auburn this weekend against Arkansas. So how about that? I haven't seen many people pick Auburn, but
emotional hedging, baby, at its finest.
It's yeah, that's
Alabama wants Auburn to win, but if they don't, it's just that much funnier.
Yeah, I mean, darn, if they don't win, oh no, you know what I mean? So I think that's it. I think you kind of nailed it. It's like we've talked so much about Kirby Smart, Nick Saban, those types of guys, Dan Lanning. You don't bet against those guys, right? You don't pick against those guys. You're stupid if you do. And if you get burned one time, pick them again next week and they'll make up for it, right? Why would you pick Auburn? Why would you? They've burned you time and time again. And I think that's where a lot of the fans are. Turns out some of the non-Auburn fans may think Auburn could actually win this game, and maybe they have a different perspective and different views than we do, and I love that. And I love the interaction there. But, yeah, I think a lot of people are like Lonnie, where he believes Auburn can win. He believes Auburn's probably the better team. But then there's people on the other side of it that say, I'm not doing that again. I'm not going down that road.
It's our favorite word here on the show that I brought from the offseason to now this season, and I haven't used it too many times. And if I did, it's been more so past tense of Auburn should have won the game. Auburn should win the game on Saturday. They're the more talented team. They're the better defense. And again, 11 on 11, you will take Auburn's 11 players on offense versus their 11 players on defense. That being said, how wild is it that people are betting on an interim, not an interim coach, an interim staff almost, to make better in-game decisions than Auburn's offensive analysts and Auburn's offensive play callers?
Yeah, the texter who picked Auburn, the Alabama fan who picked Auburn, says, I think Auburn's defense will slow down Arkansas, and at some point, Auburn's offense has to wake up.
Auburn will accidentally find the end zone.
Yeah. That's pretty much it. The defense will have the defense will finally score this week, and that'll give Auburn the
edge. Auburn will have a pick six and a scoop and score and block a punt and win 24-21.
The offense will put up 3 points all day, but the defense will find a way to get it
done. And the 3 points will be a short field following a punt and a punt return to where they start at the plus 40 and get 15 yards. And
they're going to bring Hudson Cock in to kick a field goal this week and let him boot one through there.
They might have to.
All right. we're off and running here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. Thanks for people getting involved. You can still do so. Give us a call, 334-321-1390. Text box is open as well at 334-784-1067. When we come back, we talk about the biggest story of the day that involves gambling, betting, and a whole lot more. Even the mafia. We talk about that coming up next here on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we're back here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, and some news stories that broke this morning. I know Doug talked about it a lot on his show when I had a conversation with him earlier this morning on the Max Roundtable, but this has taken the sports world by storm, Christian, but has taken the world by storm,
say,
man. This is crazy what's
taken
going on.
The FBI by storm. This is and there's more stuff that continues to be released almost by the minute, to where I'm sitting here reading an article that I hadn't heard yet, and we're sitting here with our mouth open trying to figure out everything that's going on.
So the notifications that we all woke up to this morning were that Terry Rozier, current NBA player, signed with the Miami Heat, he was arrested by the FBI this morning, and Chauncey Billups, a current NBA head coach of the Portland Trailblazers, was arrested by the FBI this morning for wide-ranging investigations related to illegal sports betting and rigged poker games backed by the mafia, is what the authorities said. Okay, so you have a current NBA player, a head coach, and an assistant coach in Cleveland were three of the now 34 people who have been arrested, not by the local police, by the FBI for all of this. And when you start reading through the details, I highly recommend you go and look into this if you haven't already. Most people have. This is some serious, serious stuff. This is straight out of a movie, man.
This will be a fantastic either documentary or a movie in 2 years. This will be absolutely incredible. I mean, this is two different things that are all being linked to relatively the same topic of throwing games, rigging games, but then also now hearing about underground rigged poker games that were led by the mafia.
So rigged, there's two separate situations going on here that the FBI has been investigating for years, is what this says.
Years.
It's a years ongoing investigation here, which is typically how the FBI operates. You've got rigged poker games involving rich people, players, coaches, like all sorts of crazy stuff that's being basically ran underground by mafia in New York. You've also got an NBA player in Terry Rozier who is being accused of participating in an illegal sports betting scheme, and this is the words from ESPN, accused of participating in an illegal sports betting scheme using insider NBA information, a.k.a. fixing games, fixing betting lines, fixing performances, telling people to go over under on their totals, like,
hey, just letting you know, this guy right here, he's questionable, but we've already talked. He's only going to play about 20 minutes.
This article says, as part of the scheme, gamblers used non-public information to bet on at least seven NBA games between March of 2023 and March of 2024. So that shows you how long ago this has been already, involving the Hornets, Magic, Blazers, Lakers, and Raptors. In three of those seven games, players intentionally removed themselves from the contests to benefit the gamblers' bets, according to the indictment. So, what that means is, Joe Blow down at the local bar said, you know what? I think I'm going to bet on this player to have 25.5 points tonight. I'm going to bet on him to go over, have more than 25.5 points. But, oh no, that player has some hamstring soreness in the first quarter and didn't come back.
Yeah.
And he went under because he only scored 4. They did that in 7 different games over the span of a year and took millions from people.
And that's now, obviously, if they've already found those from 2023 to 2024, means, A, that's enough evidence, but that guarantees that it's happened more times more recently. And we joke about all of the bad beats, and it obviously brings up so many conversations of how many of those were just bad beats versus legitimate conversations and strategical plans. Talking about the poker scheme, which is...
Yeah, this was one side of it. Yeah, the poker stuff is the other side.
This has now taken kind of the front seat to everything, where, again, 31 defendants, including Chauncey Billups, who, again, was a former NBA player and now is the head coach, or was the head coach, of the Portland Trailblazers. This is from CNBC, says allegedly participated in a nationwide scheme to rig the games of poker using high-tech cheating technology to steal millions of dollars from victims in underground poker games that were secretly fixed. That technology included poker chip tray analyzers and tampered shuffling machines that could send information about the player's hands to an off-site operator. So obviously earpieces were playing a factor. Oh, but they continue by saying the defendants who were at the tables also used special glasses and contact lenses that could read these pre-marked cards and an X-ray table that could read the cards when they were face down on the table. Victims in the rigged games were known as the fish, who were at times lured in by the chance to play alongside pro athletes who are known as the face cards. So, basically, 2 or 3 face cards say, hey, we're going to go play a game of poker tonight, and look who it is. Look at these millionaires and these big-time names. I know you make a lot of money. I know that you love to gamble. Why don't you come in and play with us? It's going to be a really fun time. We'll be able to tell you about everything. We can tell you about the league. We can tell you about all of this. And you can be one of our buddies. These games took place in New York and were backed by the Gambino, and the Genovese crime families. It's absolutely wild that you have 3 different mafia crime families that are running fixed poker games and using X-ray machines, contact lenses, and off-site officials to rig the games.
This really is out of a movie. Like, this is like, this is some serious stuff here. And you know it's serious when the FBI gets involved. But when you're talking about New York City mafia, okay? And I saw some people online earlier like, wait, mafia's still a thing? I thought that was like a 70s and 80s thing. Yeah. The mafia's still a thing? Are you kidding me? No, we don't really deal with it as much in Auburn, Alabama. But you start talking about Chicago, New York, LA, yeah, the mafia's still a thing. And it has been, and it always will be. And so now, you're dealing with the issue of the integrity of sports is now completely up in the air.
Yeah, just sports in general. Because I guarantee, again, this opens up every single possibility of, oh, this is tied in with the NBA? Oh, no way that it's happened with the MLB. No way that it's happened with the NFL. No way that it's happened with anything else. All of the other sports have still kept their integrity.
Well, yeah, John in Prattville sent us a text in the text box, 334-784-1067. You can send your messages there. Just a screenshot of some article, looks like it may be on Google or something, that says, if you think the sports you watch are not rigged, turn on your TV. 30 arrests were made today by the FBI, NBA players and coaches, friends of players and coaches, and 5 crime families. They were thrown out of Vegas, but still run all major cities gambling, and they own the players, the coaches, and the refs. Sounds like this is somebody maybe like writing a blog or something, but
basically saying that these families, these mafias are the ones that secretly control the day-to-day of sports.
And then on top of that, you also, it says, you have college refs who are now being suspended. Think they're not all linked together? Think they're not all have something to do with one another? Maybe not even in this exact situation, but fans have been saying that forever, right? And it's typically the losing side, and a lot of it is the saltiness, loser mentality. Yeah, game's rigged.
The emotional.
He wants Patrick Mahomes to win. But now we have physical evidence. We have real life scenarios of the sports that we love, the sports that have billions, with a B, billions of dollars on them every single night. There's now physical proof that some shady stuff is going on. And this isn't the only situation. This happens in college. Do we remember the Bohannon situation in Tuscaloosa?
Yeah.
With college baseball? Do we remember that? That wasn't all that long ago. So for anybody asking how long is it going to take for this to filter down into college athletics, buddy, it's already happening.
It's already happening, and what better way, before the music kicks us out, to let you know that the conversation we had about a week and a half ago about the NCAA partially letting everybody know that based off of a couple decisions, college athletes and officials and coaches may be able to bet on professional sports. That was approved yesterday. They can now do it starting November 1st. The NCAA allows staff members, athletes, and coaches to now bet on professional sports. Great job, guys. Y'all have seen the Rounders movie? If you haven't, go watch it. It's modern day this.
Yeah.
It's modern day Rounder. Give the man his monies. That was really bad.
That was terrible.
It really was, but the idea of it is exactly what happens in today's world.
Heath from Florida says, now that Ken Williamson has been permanently suspended, the SEC official, he says he feels that John Cohen will use this as an excuse to hold on to Hugh Freeze. You have to admit, Auburn got robbed by the officials twice. So, I don't know, man. Not saying it's all linked, but Brad Law joins us next.
You're 30 minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins, and we're happy that you're with us, and we're also happy that this guy is joining us on the phone lines, as he does every single Thursday at 2:30. He is a part of the Auburn Sports Network, the host of the Tiger Tailgate Show. We got our man Brad Law joining us now here on ESPN 106.7. What's going on, Brad? It's another beautiful day in Auburn, Alabama.
It's a gorgeous day. What kind of week are you having, Jacob? Like 1 to 10, how's your week going so far?
10 being the best, I assume?
Yeah.
I'd say like a 6, 6.5.
Okay, all right. Not terrible, but could be better. Okay. Well, I hope the rest of your week is the extra 3.5 that you need to get to a 10 by the end of the week. How about that?
Well, Brad, where are you at?
Oh, I'm sitting between a 9 and 10.
Okay.
Wow. Not a 9 and 10. I got a lot to be thankful for, and it's a brand new day, relatively healthy. Like we're all right. We got a lot to be thankful for.
Well, good. We're glad that you're doing well.
Jacob's just not thankful, apparently.
Thank you, Brad, for calling me out for not being thankful for the things I have. I appreciate that.
I asked you how you were doing, and then I answered a question. There was no call out there.
You're right. You're right. You're right. I am thankful for the life I'm given. I'm very, yeah. Football's happening, Brad. Football is going on. It has been for quite some time, and it's crazy to look at where we are in the calendar, right, in the schedule, the fact that we're barreling down the end of October, and Auburn's still looking for that first SEC win. Fans thought it was going to come last weekend against Missouri, and of course the heartbreak that ensued with that. And since it is Thursday, we won't go super deep into what happened against Missouri, but what can Auburn do, right, to this point? I mean, what can Auburn do to change their fate and fix some things as they go on the road to Arkansas this weekend?
It is. I'll tell you what, if I knew the answer to that question, I think Coach Freeze would hire me tomorrow. And
He can't afford you, Brad. He can't afford you.
I was going to say, I might have to take a pay cut, but I'm sure we could work it out because I love my school and my team. I don't know what the answer is, guys. I know that they believe in their plan, and I thought that schematically the game plan was better than the other three conference games against Missouri. I thought the way that they got up off the mat and went ahead in the third quarter on that touchdown drive where they had two 17-year-olds on the field in Cale Ellis and Auburn's own Omar Mabson to take that lead. But then again, you've got the lead with 6 minutes to go. And I'm still not sure what the unsportsmanlike penalty was that was the second flag on that 30-yard penalty play, where 30 of their 60 yards on their touchdown drive came on that one play and by penalty. But, it's Alex McPherson doesn't miss kicks from within 40, and he missed them this game. You hold the best rushing team in the SEC to 2.1 yards per carry and still, Missouri wins the game. I don't know what little things you can change or – I don't know. I don't have the answer. All I know to do and is what the coaches and players have done, and that is to keep working, to not lose heart, and to keep plugging away. They changed little things. They changed little things like, Coach Freese stood up at the press conference, and they changed the lighting in the press conference. It was a little more lively, a little less drab. That sounds like a really small thing that you could roll your eyes at. The way you deliver it changes the way you deliver a message when you stand tall as opposed to sitting, kind of hunched over at a table. So, I'm not at every practice. I don't know how similar or dissimilar practices have looked this week as opposed to others. But if you believe in your plan and you believe in your players, then you just got to keep plugging away at it and not lose heart, because eventually that dam breaks.
It feels like this Auburn team is going up against one of the best in a specific category just about every single week. You mentioned one of the best, if not the country's best, rushing offense and running backs in Ahmad Hardy for Missouri last week. They now take on a team that is fourth overall in total offense, putting up over 513 yards per game in the Arkansas Razorbacks. Taylen Green is one of the most athletic kids to play college football this year, the quarterback for the Arkansas Razorbacks. What would you like to see mindset-wise for this Auburn team as they go try and tackle a really, really talented and a really heavy team in Arkansas?
Yeah. Speaking just about the defense, I'd love to see the same mentality that went out there and kept A&M at least caged and corralled. They kept Missouri to 2.1 yards per carry, as we said last week in the running game. Ahmad Hardy got a couple touchdowns, but gosh, he's got 11, I think, on the season. He's going to get some yards, but you contained him. And I think containment is the key. Taylen Green is the leading, it leads the SEC in total offense per game, and not by a little. This conference has the best athletes in the country, and he's got a 60-yard per game edge on John Mateer in the number two spot. I mean, the stats are just eye-popping. So, discipline. Keep him contained for the most part as best you can. He's going to get some yards. They're going to get some points. They're going to make some plays. You have to have a short memory. Auburn's been a very good red zone defense. If there's ever a game where you go, all right, they're going to get some yards, they might hit some big plays, tackle them before they get to the end zone, force them to settle for three as opposed to getting seven. Auburn's been good at that this year. They're going to have to do it again Saturday.
In Fayetteville, it's an 85% chance of rain on Friday and a 90% chance of rain on Saturday. Does that benefit Auburn's defense that much more, or does it possibly hurt one of these offenses, possibly the Auburn offense, for their inability to possibly try and push the ball downfield?
Yeah, Christian, I think that's a really interesting factor in the game, and it's one that we can't predict until we get there and we just kind of see what it's going to be like. Typically, rain benefits the offense more than the defense because they know where they're going, and so they can be more sure-footed in their cuts and their moves because they know where they're going, trying to go. However, it also tends to benefit a running team more than a passing team And so you can't just sling it around and use the field horizontally, stretch it horizontally and vertically, and do all those things, which would you would think would work in Auburn's favor, that it would slow down or limit the more high-powered offense. So I think actually both defenses benefit from this. It could be a much lower scoring game if that rain is consistent throughout. But, you know, again, I don't know how well their field drains or doesn't drain, or how heavy the rain is supposed to be throughout the course of the game. But if it is heavy, I'm going to take a page out of Tommy Tuberville's book from 2001 before the Florida game, which ultimately was true. He said before that game, he said, "I'd like to have a little lead and then it come a toad strangler. I wouldn't be opposed to that in Fayetteville. I'd like to get a little 7 or 10 point lead and then just a deluge drop down in Fayetteville."
We'll see what happens as Auburn and Arkansas do battle on Saturday, 11:45 a.m. We'll have the full radio coverage for you as Brad, Andy, and the guys will have you in Fayetteville over on Wings 94.3. We're talking with Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network here on ESPN 106.7. And I want to step away from Auburn just for a moment, Brad, because the Southeastern Conference so far this season is just loaded through the top and through the middle of this conference. I mean, 10 teams are currently ranked in the top 25. Do you trust any of those teams? Again, we're stepping away from Auburn for just a moment. Do you trust any of those teams more than the others, or any of them to go on and win the national title as it stands right now with about a week or so to play in October and a few weeks down the home stretch? Any team from the SEC that stands out to you?
Yeah, you know, I was more impressed with Missouri than I was Georgia, but I would have to say Georgia or Texas A&M. We'll see what A&M does without their running back the rest of the way, who's injured. But both of those teams, and Coach Freeze alluded to this in his press conference, they're so veteran-laden. They have experienced deep talent on the defensive line. They have experienced players all over their defense. Their offensive lines are big and experienced. So, you know, be it through high school ranks or portal additions, they're adding guys that have both talent and poise and experience. So I think those would be the top two. We'll see who comes out. You know, we'll see how for real Vanderbilt is this weekend, because they dropped the ball against the toughest competition they've played so far this year. Can they bounce back and get a win over Missouri and kind of announce that they are a contender in the playoff? Wouldn't that be wild? So,
yeah.
That's where I would go first, and then we'll see with Alabama. Alabama's got I don't think it's all that tough playing in Columbia. I'd be shocked. I mean, if they lose that game, then that's a little fraudulent. But I don't expect them to lose this weekend. But can they consistently improve throughout the course of the year? They have the kind of schedule that if they navigate it, they probably belong in that conversation.
We're talking with Brad Law again from the Auburn Sports Network as we move along from football into a little basketball conversation. And I know last week you and Christian were able to talk about the Auburn exhibition versus Oklahoma State that took place in Birmingham, 97-95 overtime loss. But another one coming up a week from today where Auburn will take on Memphis over in State Farm Arena in downtown Atlanta. We know how much Auburn basketball loves playing in that venue. Anything in particular you're looking for, since it is an exhibition, you get to see some different rotations and have some different looks and things, but expectations for what that game could be a week from today?
Really good question. I want to see, I wonder if there's going to be more emphasis on interior defense, like if the rotations play out any differently to skew toward defense, because we know that the offense is going to be like, we know that's going to be one of the identities of this team. They can get up and down the floor. They can score. Just about anybody's going to have a hard time slowing them down. Are there better combinations defensively? I think you'll see more of that intentionally in this game. And then, you know, otherwise, on the offensive end, can Tahad get off to a better start shooting the ball? Just an exhibition game, not losing any sleep over it. Not many games he's going to shoot 25% from the floor. I think a big part of that is seeing some shots go down early. So early offense from Tahad, and then defensive improvement, and we'll see if that means defensive skewed rotations for Auburn in that game.
sticking on the defensive side of the football, again, with Stephen Pearl being that defensive coordinator, he was asked a lot of questions about the defense, and Auburn is known for their really good man-to-man defense. You saw Auburn go to a little bit more of a zone against Oklahoma State, and Stephen talked about how effective it was. Are you a fan of a zone defense versus man-to-man, or is it simply just whichever one is working, and if these five pieces need to come together rather than playing one-on-one, mano-a-mano, man-to-man defense. Where do you stand in that perspective on the basketball floor?
Yeah, never been a coach, watched a lot of basketball. I don't mind a good zone. I think a good zone can be effective as long as everybody is in their spot and they know their role and they don't try to jump out and do, you know, if you do your job correctly and don't try to do anybody else's job and everybody else does his job correctly, it can be a major weapon. And I don't think the game has changed so much that the zone is old or antiquated. I mean, Jim Boeheim won a million games at Syracuse playing almost exclusively zone. Mm-hmm. Here at Auburn, Joe Champy on the women's side won a billion ball games. Maybe that's a slight exaggeration, but he won a lot. Went to three straight Final Fours playing a ton of zone defense. So if it's taught right, executed properly, it still has a place, and especially as a change of pace coming out of a timeout or, you know, against a particular style of offense, given the right situation. I don't think you'll see it much start to finish in games anymore, but, yeah, there's a place for it for sure.
We're excited for basketball season to get started. Auburn men's basketball, again, will play Memphis in an exhibition game a week from tonight over in Atlanta, and then they'll tip off the season officially Monday, November 3rd at home against Bethune-Cookman. But before basketball starts, football is still ongoing as the Tigers will be in Fayetteville on Saturday taking on the Razorbacks of Arkansas. Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network with us every Thursday here on ESPN 106.7. Plug it on, my friend. Tell people what they need to know for all the coverage from you guys in Fayetteville on Saturday morning.
Okay, bright and early, we will get on the air at 8:30 from Razorback Stadium. We have Josh Bynes, Stan White, and waiting to hear back on a couple of others for confirmation for the tailgate show. And so we will have that for you. We'll have Auburn Game Day live on War Eagle Plus, but just on the broadcast side of things, 8:30 Tiger Tailgate Show, Wings 94.3. Hope that you'll join us on the radio if you're not going to Fayetteville.
And you guys, when you're on the road, Brad, you do that from the road, just from the radio booth when you're on the road in SEC play?
Yep, everything's from the booth. A lot of phone guests as opposed to, you know, in person on the stage for home games. So reach a little bit. All from the booth on the road.
All right. Well, hey, safe travels to you and the entire crew to and from Fayetteville. We look forward to talking to you again next Thursday.
War Eagle, guys, let's have a 10 out of 10 finish to the week.
Love it. War Eagle, Brad, thank you very much. Always appreciate you hopping on with us. Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. Again, every Thursday, 2:30, right here during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. We will take a break, come back, and wrap up hour number one right after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. Online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. Thanks to Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network for joining us as he does every Thursday. And you're failing miserably. Whatever you're trying to do. What?
Straight up. Pay him. Pay that man his money.
I was not ready for that.
That was it.
All right. Well.
Sorry, I was waiting on that. Since.
Little heads up would have been cool. Like, no. You know, during the break, I'm going to do something.
No.
No. Okay.
Probably would have played better if that was played before we went to Brad, but I was just waiting on that for the entire time.
Yeah. Anyway.
We're sitting there talking about it, how it's like sports are just puppet strings being pulled from the people up top. Like,
it's pretty insane to think about.
A wild concept.
Thank you again to Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network for joining us. And I got ousted because apparently I don't like my life is what it comes down to. So, which is not true. It's not true. I don't know how to come back from that. So, Thanks, I guess, Brad, for joining us.
I should have doubled down and been like, Brad, you didn't ask me, but I'm a 9-2. I'm loving it.
Oh, geez. So, yeah, we got a couple of minutes before we are done with hour number one. Loaded hour number two coming up. We're going to have Auburn High's head football coach, Keith Etheridge. He's going to join me on the phone lines to start the second hour. We'll talk about Auburn taking down Carver last week to secure the 2 seed in the region and preview a trip to Dothan tomorrow. So we'll talk with Coach Etheridge coming up in about 10 minutes or so. He'll join me on the phone lines. And then Chris Gordy, the host of the Locked On SEC podcast, will join us in hour number two as well. He'll join us at 3:30 to talk all the biggest storylines, all the biggest games around the SEC. A couple of text messages that we've gotten over the last 20 or 30 minutes that we have not had a chance to get to. This person says, again, text box is open, 334-784-1067. Someone says, just more about the offense, better show up for Auburn on Saturday. The best defensive lineman for Arkansas went down in practice yesterday for already a bad defense. So take that for what you will. We'll see what his status ends up being on the health report. This person says, I've come to the conclusion, this is John down in Prattville, says, I've come to the conclusion that Auburn's football team is cursed, and it's the only logical explanation. Someone in the Auburn program needs to repent and take the idol back to the cave.
Just someone,
take one for the team, man.
Someone has been down there in New York.
Sounds like it. Well, someone says, another texter here says, all more, we were talking about the gambling stuff earlier, all more ammunition on the fact that SEC refs are cooked and have been purchased off.
Yeah.
And then,
I've seen all of that taken more storm. Has there been more outlets that have reported about the Ken Williams and stuff?
Funny enough, no. They've reported about it.
I've only seen, but they have to, according to Yellowhammer Sports,
correct,
or Yellowhammer News, even on, yes, Instagram and Twitter and everything that you see, it's none of the On Three reports or ESPN reports. It's all according to this, and the big media companies that have not posted anything about it.
Right. The New York Post posted about it. Outkick posted about it. But you're right. It's all in reference to Yellowhammer News, which is a legitimate news source. Okay. They're more on the political side of things, but they are a legitimate news outlet. And apparently they've got a source or two that nobody else has, but that's legit. It's confirmed. Ken Williams in the white hat is suspended. He's not officiating SEC games anymore. So,
okay,
pretty wild, right? Pretty wild. So between that and all the gambling stuff going down, our guy Eric says even the appearance of impropriety is enough to question the integrity of the game.
Oh yeah.
And that's exactly right.
Of everything. Like I said, I mean, the people up top, again, this is just more examples of people up top are just holding everybody like puppets, and we sit there and watch it and get our lives caught up in it.
Crazy stuff, man. Crazy stuff. All right, hour number one's in the books. Stick around. Head coach Keith Etheridge of Auburn High School Football joins us to start hour number two.
The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we are underway here at hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It is the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us here on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. And if you missed any of hour number one, you can go back and listen to the podcast version of the show. You'll find it on our station website at ESPNAU.com in the podcast center. In hour number one, we talked a little bit more Auburn and Arkansas. Also talked about the crazy gambling schemes that are going on right now across the NBA in New York, the mafia, poker games. I mean, just some wild stuff going on that we went over in the first hour. We also talked to Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network as well, previewing Auburn and Arkansas. So all of that was in hour number one. If you missed it, you can check it out again on our station website at ESPNAU.com. And a loaded hour number two here on this Thursday afternoon. And it starts the same way it always does on Thursdays during football season as we get to the phone lines. And we welcome in my guy, head coach Keith Etheridge of Auburn High School Football, who joins us on the phone lines now. What's going on, coach? Isn't it a beautiful day outside in Auburn?
Man, awesome day today, Jacob. Awesome day today. Beautiful outside, you know. Get to play a little football, coach a little football tomorrow. So, awesome day.
Yes, and we are hitting the road tomorrow. Longest trip of the year. We're heading down to Dothan tomorrow night, coach, to take on the Wolves. And we haven't had to travel a whole lot. Did have to go to Birmingham in week two and made this quick trip to Opelika and things. But we've been pretty blessed this year not having to make too many crazy road trips.
Yeah, it's been nice. It's been nice to play a lot of games home at the Duck and, you know, get to be around the home fans, and you know it's been really nice. But you know you got to get on the road, because you got to, if you're going to win it, you know, you got to win games away from home.
That's right. Well, your Tigers right now 7-2 overall on the season, 5-1 in region play, 7A region 2, thanks to that nice win last week against Carver Montgomery, 41-7 final score back home at the Duck, a game that secured the 2 seed for your team and just really showed how talented you are on all sides of the football, coach. What did you see from your Tigers last week?
I think we played well last week. You know, we still left some things out there. You know, I think we had a couple times we kicked field goals, and, you know, we got inside the 5 one time and didn't score. So we still left some stuff out there. There's still some things to work on, but, you know, all in all, we played really good. I think, you know, Casey Myers was 16 for 19 for 269 yards, 4 touchdowns. I think he ran a touchdown also, and really – Two of the 19 were drops, so he could have been sitting there 18 for 19, which is pretty much amazing. You know, I thought our receivers played really good. You know, got some running backs involved. You know, J.J. King, Jaden Huff, those guys ran the ball well the other night. And you know, defensive, we've been solid all year. Our defense has played great all year. It's
absolutely.
You know, Greg Williams back in there this week playing some. Or last week playing some, you know, and you know, we've had some guys step up big, you know, with him being out. You know, Will has stepped up and played that linebacker position really well, and Aiden Parker has been solid all year. Him and Alex Gampson.
Well, you look at the results this year, coach. I mean, in your two losses, right, it was 42 points given up to Vestavia, 36 given up to Central. But in the wins, I mean, listen to some of these totals, folks. 6 given up to Booker, 10 to Opelika, 7-0, 7-0, 7. I mean, that's the difference, right? I mean, that really is – it sounds stupid to say, but don't give up a bunch of points and you win games. But that seems to be a difference maker when your defense keeps you around, the offense starts to click as they have the last 2 weeks. You guys are a dangerous team.
Yeah, we played really good, you know, and defensively, you know, a couple of those games where we did give up points, we turned the ball over, you know, and put our defense in some tough spots, you know. And offensively, though, we have to take some of those chances, because that's just kind of the offense we have this year, you know. I've always been one of those guys who love to line up and run the ball right at people. We don't have that type of offense this year, so we had to make some adjustments. And you know, we're throwing the ball a little more this year, doing some things that we haven't done in the past. And, you know, it's paying off for our guys down the stretch.
Auburn right now 5-1 in region play. Auburn High, that is, as they hit the road tomorrow to take on the Dothan Wolves. We're talking with head coach Keith Etheridge of Auburn High School football here on ESPN 106.7. And thankfully, the win last week, coach, you and I were talking about this morning. Yeah. You avoid all the chaos that's going on back behind you, securing the 2 seed. You've got a home playoff game in round one coming up in a few weeks at Duck Sanford Stadium. But everything going on behind us in this region, Central's got it locked up as the 1. Auburn has it locked up as the 2. But now you've got 3, possibly 4 teams trying to fight their way in to the playoffs with Carver, Opelika, Dothan, and Enterprise.
It's going to be a wild finish, you know, and a lot of regions have that. You know, I think Region 3 up in Birmingham, they've got some crazy stuff going on too. So, you know, but this region, it's that close. It really is that close. These teams are really equally matched, and, you know, it just, you know, how you play every Friday night is big, you know, in the grand scheme of things. And, you know, we play really well, you know, down the stretch, and, you know, have won some really tough games, and, you know, and it's paying off for us now, you know, and getting that 2 spot, getting that home playoff game, you know, first round is big for us.
Well, you go up against a Dothan team tomorrow night who we're going to talk about in specifics in just a moment, who is still playing for their playoff lives and trying to back their way in with some help around them as well. How do you, because it's a real thing, and I know yet that you'll address it and be willing to talk about it. I mean, you guys, in terms of playoffs, have nothing to play for, right? You have the 2 seed. It's secured. It's locked down. Win or lose, you're still doing the same thing. So how do you get your guys ready to go tomorrow night in a game that for you doesn't have playoff implications, but for your opponent, it absolutely does?
Yeah, they're going to be ready to play. You know, there's no doubt. You know, Jay Kennedy's a really, really good football coach, one of the best around. He's going to have his guys ready to play. They're playing for the playoff lives, and, you know, they're playing to extend their season. You know, so it's one of those games where, and they've got loads of talent also. You know, they line up and they run the ball. I think they had 430 yards of offense against you know, they had 430 yards of offense against Carver, and, you know, they've had 400 yards of offense against other teams.
Yeah.
So they got a running back who's close to 1,500 yards in 8 games. You know, that's really, really good.
Can't make that up.
No. AJ's one of the best running backs in the state. So we've got to be ready to play. Those guys are going to be ready. You know, they play a good brand of football. You know, they run the single wing, and it is tough to stop. So we're going to have to be ready to play, and our guys will be ready. You know, like you said, we have the 2 spot shored up, but, you know, we want to win football games. You know, you don't work all week to get to a point where you don't want to win. But we definitely want to stay healthy also.
Mm-hmm.
We do not want to put ourselves in a situation where we, you know, get a couple guys hurt trying to win a game that at the end of the year and get into the playoffs and not have some key spots. But we have another week. You know, we have an off week next week. We got some time to heal up and get well, and we need that extra time at this time of year.
Yep, Tigers will have a bye week at the end of the regular season. A lot of 7A schools do that, right, Coach? They put that bye week there at the end of the season. So if you do make the playoffs, you give yourself a little buffer.
Yeah, that's right. And the way the playoffs work in 7A, we have 4 rounds instead of 5 rounds, so it gives you a little buffer to get healthy going into the playoffs and have a situation where, you know, you have that, because, you know, that last round we would get off week and then play the following Wednesday, you know, is the way it works in 7A. So, you know, you get a little extra time, but, you know, I'm telling you, four games in a row is brutal when you're in, you know, when you're in 7A football and playing in the type of playoff atmosphere that's going to be every week in 7A.
Auburn, the 2 seed out of Region 2, matched up with the 3 seed out of Region 3. We don't know what that's going to be or who that's going to be. That's the Birmingham region where we said we've got drama and they've got a whole lot more. But we'll worry about that in a couple of weeks as the Tigers take on Dothan tomorrow on the road. And head coach Keith Etheridge will lead his squad down there again tomorrow night. Coach, we always appreciate you joining us here on ESPN 106.7. Safe travels to you and the guys tomorrow. We'll see you tomorrow night all the way down there in Dothan, and we look forward to another good one.
I appreciate it, Jacob. Thank you for what y'all do for high school football. God bless. Go Tigers.
Go Tigers. That's head coach Keith Etheridge of Auburn High School Football with us every single Thursday, 3 o'clock right here on ESPN 106.7. Tigers and Wolves going at it tomorrow. Again, that will be on the road down in Dothan. So if you're not making the trip, that's okay. I understand. You can tune in with us over on Wings 94.3, WingsFM.com, and that Radio Alabama app. Pre-game 6:30, kickoff at 7 on the Auburn High Sports Network. We'll talk some of that high school drama because 7A's crazy, 3A's crazy, all sorts of stuff going on in this area. We'll talk about some high school football stuff with playoffs around the corner right after this here on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
We are back here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. Thanks to head coach Keith Etheridge of Auburn High School Football. Love that guy. Always appreciate him taking the time to talk with us on Thursday afternoons about his Auburn High Tigers as, it's our final regular season game of the year for Auburn High, as you heard us here talking just a few moments ago. We do have a bye week next week, and we are in the playoffs, guaranteed as the 2 seed, so I'm very excited about that. Excited for our game tomorrow, heading down to Dothan, where the Tigers and the Wolves will do battle tomorrow night. And the thing about it, though, and Coach and I were just talking about it, the game matters, okay? It's a region game, final regular season game of the year. And like he said, if you're going to win the state title, you're going to have to do it away from your home stadium. So a nice way to get back out on the road and see what your team is made of. But for Auburn High, in terms of the playoffs, you're already in and you're already cemented into the 2 seed out of the region. So no, in terms of the playoffs, it doesn't matter. But there's a lot of other reasons that you play, and I like what Coach said too, Christian, about you don't prepare all week just to go roll over in a game like this, right? And so Auburn will play Dothan, and 7A playoffs are just completely out of whack. We'll talk about that, and then we'll get into the 3A stuff here in just a moment because Lee Scott's kind of in a similar situation with Auburn High in terms of kind of cemented into the playoffs and things like that. But here's what 7A playoffs look like, and I'm going to do my best to explain what the heck is going on here, okay? 7A high school football right now is off the rails, right? You've got your regions, and they start from the bottom and work their way up. So Region 1's down south. We're Region 2 here in East Alabama, Montgomery and things. Region 3 is in Birmingham. Region 4 is in the north, okay? Central's going to win our region. They already have. They're the region champs in here. Auburn is the 2 seed. As it stands right now, Carver-Montgomery is the 3 seed. Opelika is the 4 seed. Dothan is the 5, and Enterprise is the 6th. But only the top 4 teams make it to the playoffs. Carver is 4-2. Opelika is 3-3. Dothan is 3-3. And Enterprise is 2-4. There is a possibility that any combination of those 4 teams could make it into the playoffs as of right now. Okay, the 3-4 seed, Carver and Opelika, they play tomorrow night. Carver goes to Bulldog Stadium tomorrow night. Okay, Dothan, as we've mentioned, plays Auburn High, and Enterprise plays Smith Station tomorrow. Okay, so assuming that Enterprise wins that game, they're 3-4. Then it starts to get interesting, because if Dothan were to beat Auburn tomorrow, they're 4-3. If Opelika were to beat Carver, they are 4-3. And then if Carver loses, they're 4-3. So there's a lot of wacky stuff that can go on there. If Opelika wins, basically for those here listening in the area who are fans of Opelika High, or not fans of Opelika High, If the Dogs win tomorrow, if they beat Carver, they're in. They'll be the 3 seed. Carver will be the 4 seed because they beat Dothan, and that'll be how that goes down. Okay? That's pretty much what's going on right there. If Opelika beats Carver tomorrow, the Dogs are in, Carver is in, Dothan and Enterprise are out. But it gets kind of crazy if Carver wins, and then there's all sorts of different battles going on back in between. Out of this region, okay, top 4 teams are in. To give you an idea of what happens with Auburn High, the 2 seed out of our region, we play the 3 seed out of Region 3, which will be at Duck Sanford Stadium coming up on November 7th. Well, you think our region's crazy? Just take a little stroll up to Birmingham and see what the heck's going on up there. I simply don't know how to explain this. This is insane. Because Hoover has decided to start playing football again. Thompson is good. Vestavia is good. Prattville's good. And Hoover woke up, okay? 55-yard field goal to beat Thompson last week. Walked it off. Incredible.
It's a great video, too.
Oh, it's awesome. We watched it live in the booth as we were closing out the broadcast. And Jeez. We were like, holy smokes. Thompson is 5-1. Hewitt is 4-2. Vestavia's 4-2. Hoover's 4-2. And Prattville's 4-2. So 5 teams are now fighting for 4 spots. And they could all finish in any sort of situation in different spot because of tiebreakers. And I'm not going to go through all that right now. But
basically, yeah, whoever's in first right now could either miss the playoffs or go from the 1 seed to the 4 seed.
So for Auburn High, just in terms of planning for the playoffs, basically, okay, basically, Thompson plays Prattville this week. They should win that game. And if they do, Auburn will play the winner of Vestavia Hills and Hoover. The 3 and 4 seed currently right now play in their regular season finale. And the winner of that game will get the 3 seed. And they'll travel to Duck Sanford Stadium.
Whew.
Which doesn't sound all that fun. It'd be an incredible game. It's either a rematch versus Vestavia, where Auburn's going to try and give it right back to him, where Auburn did not play well, or Hoover. It
didn't matter.
No, did matter. You're right, yeah. Yeah, it matters now. Or you get Hoover coming to the Duck. So, pretty crazy stuff right there, but God, I'm so excited for it. It gets me fired up for postseason football and really excited for that. So, again, to summarize, I know I did not explain that well, and apologies, but Auburn's the 2 seed, guaranteed, locked up, no doubt about it. You'll get a home game at the Duck to start the first round of the playoffs. If you win that game, you're going to have to travel guaranteed. I'm not going to get into all that right now because of the stupid travel rules that the AHSAA puts in. Auburn as the 2 seed is guaranteed to travel no matter what. Just believe me, it's right. It's correct. It's
even
stupid.
Even if the 4 seed beats the 1 seed.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it does not matter.
So that's where Auburn stands. You get a home game against a Birmingham school to start, and then you got to travel 2 hours north or 2 hours south in round 2.
And that's about where Lee Scott is as well. Again, Lee Scott, the 2 seed, their bracket is beginning to fill out. They're going to host Hale County at Judd Scott Field in round 1. Again, that's the 3 seed from their region.
That's guaranteed?
That is guaranteed,
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
After that, it will be Lee Scott will take on the winner of either Montgomery Academy or what I believe will be... Hold on, let me make sure.
I think it was what, like Flomaton?
It was Flomaton, and I believe it was T.R. Miller. But hold on, let me make sure we're right on this. Yes, so it will be both of those teams are guaranteed to be in the playoffs, T.R. Miller and Flomaton. But I don't believe that's completely confirmed on the seeding because T.R. Miller is 4-1, Flomaton is 3-2. And Flomaton is playing the number 2 seed in their region. T.R. Miller is playing the number 1 seed. And so I think everything should stay the same on that region. But again, Lee Scott Academy will host round 1. We'll have to travel in round 2. That will either be to Montgomery Academy, which is not too far, or it will be to T.R. Miller, which is about 2.5 hours north, or Flomaton, which is almost 3 hours south.
Yeah, that sounds like not a lot of fun, but that's how it goes. So
That's a company trip to the beach, baby.
Yeah, that's how I felt when we went to Alma Bryant for baseball last year for Auburn High. I say last year, last baseball season back in April, right? Yeah. God.
I remember listening to that game.
Dude, such a long drive, man. Did you know, fun fact, you can go past Mobile in the state of Alabama? You can. You can do it. There's a small town called, or I don't know what the town was, I can't remember. But you're in Alma Bryant. There's a high school down there that is past Mobile. It is squeezed between Mobile and the Mississippi state line. If you stand on a tall building, you can see the state of Mississippi. It's pretty crazy. That is not a fun drive, man.
I'm looking at their state, their baseball stadium right now. I also remember you saying that there was negative shade.
Negative shade. It was hot as could be. Yeah. Ton of fun, though. One of the best series I've been a part of on the radio because...
Oh, yeah. I mean, you had the go-ahead grand slam in the seventh. I remember listening to that.
Dude.
Or was it in the sixth?
Yeah. You had
that was in game two when y'all were the home team. It was the home half of the sixth.
And with the season on the line, we lost the first game because in high school baseball, you play it's a best of three. You play the first two on the first night, and then you come back the next day for game three. And, yeah, we lost the first game, had to jump on them in the second game, and then the game three the next day was insane. Makes a 3.5-4 hour drive a heck of a lot better when you win those types of series. God, that was so much fun with head coach Tommy Carter and the Auburn High Tigers baseball team. So looking forward to baseball season. Basketball season is right around the corner, too, for high school. I was actually talking with our Auburn High coaches this week about rosters and information. And our first broadcast for Auburn High basketball is November 11th. So,
yeah, I just got the Lee Scott notification saying that they're just a month out.
Yeah, golly, crazy. But just a reminder, we don't just do football. We do it all. We call football, basketball, and baseball on the Auburn High Sports Network and on the Lee Scott Sports Network. So make sure you tune into those. We'll give you all that information when we get closer. But for football, we're on the road tomorrow for Auburn High against Dothan. Wings 94.3, wingsfm.com, and the Radio Alabama app. Lee Scott, on the other hand.
Yeah, we're taking on the Tigers of B.B. Comer on the road with myself. No Rhett Crome with me tomorrow instead. It will be Mr. Caleb Robertson who will be joining us.
He's good, yeah. I'm not booing him. I'm booing Rhett.
That's very, very fair. We've openly booed him. But no, it will be Lee Scott taking on the Tigers of B.B. Comer. It feels like it's just Lee Scott versus the Tigers every single week. But again, not too much to play for in terms of overall seeding, playoffs, or anything like that, but the offense sputtering just a little bit. And I know Coach Buster Daniels ready to get the team back on the field and just continue to execute because you have this game, your region finale, before you take on Real Town before the playoffs. And so I know that he's going to want to continue to make sure that, yes, health is obviously the most important thing, but making sure that you can continue to do the little things right and build back a little bit of confidence on both sides of the football.
Yep, so that's our high school stuff coming up tomorrow. We'll tell you more about it on tomorrow's show. But we need to take a break here at the bottom of the hour because our man Chris Gordy, the host of the Locked On SEC podcast, he joins us when we come back talking the biggest storylines in games from last week in the SEC and this week in the SEC. And I'm sure he believes in Auburn to turn it around in Fayetteville, right? Ain't no way Chris picks against Auburn against Arkansas on Saturday. Guess you'll just have to stick around and find out.
Halfway through hour number two. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We appreciate you being with us on a gorgeous day here in the Auburn Opelika area. And we get to the phone lines once again. Like we said, a jam-packed, loaded Thursday show here in Auburn Opelika. And we welcome in our man Chris Gordy, the host of the Locked On SEC podcast. And, man, it's a busy time of year. We just continue to chug right along. And most of the storylines nowadays just write themselves, huh?
Yeah, luckily today the story of a bag of cash showing up on a basketball player's door did not involve Auburn, so that's good.
Wow. Oh, geez. Yeah, I mean, look, Auburn fans got PTSD when they saw FBI was all over the internet. You know, they got up, they were like, oh, no, what happened? But, no, thankfully, yeah, Auburn, as far as we know, Auburn stayed out of it. And but don't worry, college sports are clean, Chris. I don't know what you're talking about. No way there's you know, bad things happening in college athletics, right?
Well, it is good. I mean, one of these guys, they said that they do have evidence that he was bet on college basketball games a year ago. So we'll see on that. But yeah, it's the evolution of legalized sports betting everywhere, and the irony that ESPN is reporting this story this morning while the bottom of their screen is promoting the ESPN Bet app. I mean, it's just, you know, it's legalized betting everywhere. And you know, I think we have to always do a little check of ourselves and say, you know, are the athletes completely clean here and not being paid off by the mafia of all people? I mean, it's like a real-life Sopranos episode.
Well, how weird is it now, Chris, too, that as of yesterday, the NCAA legalized where college athletes, coaches, and staff members can now bet on professional sports? I mean, ain't no way that this gets even more cluttered and more chaotic.
Well, that's the tough part is you go on any of these websites, you know, FanDuel's a sponsor of ours. There's DraftKings. There's all these websites. And, you know, so you're going to tell me a college kid's going to go on there and click the NFL tab or the MLB tab or whatever and just going to conveniently not press that NCAA tab that's right next to it. I mean, that's
the
tough part of this.
He didn't mean to. It was an accident.
Yeah, you just open up a door for temptation there. And you just hope that you keep the integrity alive in all these sports.
We'll see how all that goes down. And that is definitely the biggest story in the sports world today. But we do want to talk to you about, of course, all things SEC, the Southeastern Conference SEC. And talking about some of the biggest results and things from a week ago around this conference. But my goodness, look at the top 25, Chris. It's just littered with SEC teams. 10 teams are ranked in this week's AP poll. I mean, does that just show the SEC is the best conference in the country? Or maybe they're just the deepest conference in the country?
Well, I mean, the rubber's going to hit the road here because you got three ranked-on-ranked games this week and, you know, a couple of situations where, you know, some of these teams, if they lose, you know, they're gonna fall out. So, you know, so it always seems to work itself out. But, yeah, I mean, you look at Alabama's resume right now, the last 4 weeks, four straight ranked wins without a bye week is damn impressive for Alabama. Whereas, you know, I've got people hyping up Texas A&M as the best team in the SEC, ranked number three in the country, 7-0, great. But I always go back to the question, who have you beaten? And their one ranked win was over Notre Dame on the road, and you needed a miracle to do it. And so I've been preaching all week for this A&M-LSU game that, yeah, look, LSU's got their problems. Brian Kelly has two losses that look pretty ugly, albeit on the road at Ole Miss and on the road at Vanderbilt. But this is a game where LSU is undefeated at home. They've only lost two games at home in the Brian Kelly era. One was an early game to Tennessee, and the other one was the night game against Alabama last year. So really, you know, he's only lost one night game at home in Baton Rouge since he's been the head coach there. So, yeah, I mean, this is one I keep looking at and saying LSU, you know, I'm going to be pissed if I take them and they lose because I'm going to be like, I should never have taken them. But it just feels like this is an easy spot for LSU as a 2.5-point home underdog in Death Valley at night versus an A&M team that just largely is unproven so far. And I hate to say that because it feels like I'm knocking them down. But you can only play who's on your schedule. But I'm sorry, UTSA, Utah State, Auburn, Mississippi State, and Florida and Arkansas – I'm sorry, three of those or four of those are probably the worst four teams in the SEC. So, again, I think this is going to be their biggest test yet so far this weekend.
look how crazy the difference is when Alabama lost to Vanderbilt last year versus LSU losing to Vanderbilt last weekend. I mean, the world just caught fire when Alabama lost to Vanderbilt, and then here we are just a year later, and I know it was a ranked matchup, but Vanderbilt beat LSU, and it was like, oh, Vanderbilt's actually a pretty good team. What a crazy world we're in, right, Chris?
Well, they were favored. I mean, that's the crazy part. I mean, we spent all last week, you know, debating, like, is this line right? You know, I thought that that was kind of the turning point in the season for Vanderbilt, because they lose on the road to Alabama, then they had a bye week. And I said, is this where the spiral happens? Because, you know, their next three games were LSU, Missouri, Texas. And I just kind of thought, all right, this is where they'll lose three out of four and, you know, and have a nice season, maybe an 8-4 type season. But they didn't do that. I mean, they played their butts off against LSU, converted every big third down, fourth down they needed to, and just kept methodical drives going and ended every drive with a touchdown, it felt like. And I give Jerry Kill a lot of credit. I give Tim Beck a lot of credit. And Diego Pavia, they executed brilliantly, and it was a big win. They deserved it. And now with game day coming to Nashville, hosting number 15 Mizzou, I think Mizzou's a good team, but Bo Perbula, it's going to be a big test for him on the road. It's advantage Vanderbilt at home with Pavia the way he's playing. If they win this one, gosh, I mean, you're talking about going into Austin playing Texas next week. That the way Arch Manning's playing right now, I think you give the edge to Pavia. Then they're home for Auburn, home for Kentucky, and then at Tennessee to finish the season. I think if they win this one against Mizzou, we could be literally talking about a Vanderbilt team that's going to go 10-2 and make the playoff.
Just like everybody expected. Just like the world expected. We're talking with Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast here on ESPN. And while Auburn has their conversations on Hugh Freeze and his current state of being the head coach, down in Gainesville, they went ahead and made the decision. They fired Billy Napier after a win when Florida beats Mississippi State. Were you surprised by that at all? Were you expecting it? And where do you expect Florida to go from here?
Well, I think you did it because you avoid him, quote unquote, saving his job again. And that's kind of what happened last year for you. You fell into this trap of, oh, he won four straight. And all right, arrows pointed upward. And I kept saying, yeah, he saved his job last year, but the schedule was still absolutely brutal going into this year, and it wasn't going to get any easier. And so, you know, on paper, you know, the loss to South Florida was, you know, as bad as it was, South Florida is still hanging tough as a top 20 team and appears to be really good. So at the end of the day, I mean, that's a good South Florida team you lost to. And then you look at the other losses. You lost at LSU when they were ranked number 3. You lost at Miami when they were ranked number 4. You beat Texas when they were number 9. And you lost at A&M when they were number 5. I mean, I don't think you put any, you know, you look at those losses and go, it's not bad losses. It's just, who's making this schedule for Florida? Like, it's just an absolute atrocious schedule that Billy Napier had to deal with every year that he was in Gainesville. And so I stand by. I think that Billy Napier is a damn good coach. I just think he was in an impossible situation with an impossible schedule every year that not even Nick Saban could overcome, in my opinion. So, you rip the Band-Aid off, you move on. By the way, Georgia is ranked number 5, so it's once again another top 5, top 10 team that Florida's going to play. And then they still have to play at Ole Miss, who's top 10 right now, but yeah, this just gives you time to kind of start the process and talking to agents behind the scenes, and we'll see what direction they go. I mean, the Lane Kiffin thing seems to have some legs. The question is, will Lane jump ship, especially where Ole Miss is sitting in a position where, you know, even with one more loss, they can be 10-2 and make a playoff this year.
Do you think that's the best fit for Florida is Lane Kiffin, or do you think there's somebody else out there who, because I think most people agree, Chris, that look, Florida's a sleeping giant. We know how great their athletics department is, and all it takes is a good coach. Look at the basketball side of things with Todd Golden. You get a good coach, you win a national championship. So is Lane Kiffin the answer, or do you think somebody better is an option?
I think a few years ago, people steered clear of Lane Kiffin because of the toxicity, him and his vocalness on social media, taking shots at other coaches publicly. You know, as some people described it years ago, a very immature attitude. But I think what's happened here over these last couple of years is he's starting to win and winning a high caliber and running off 10-win seasons, year after year. And I think after you, after that happens, you kind of look back and go, you know what? We can deal with a couple of mean tweets. Mm-hmm. We can deal with a jab publicly at another coach because the guy wins. And so that's where I think, yes, I think it'd be a great hire for Florida. Look, he's dealing with a little bit of one hand behind his back at Ole Miss. It is hard to get kids in there. Somebody asked me why Lane Kiffin's, you know, keep going in the portal these last couple of years and having big portal classes at Ole Miss. It's because it's hard to recruit at Ole Miss. It's hard to get top five, top 10 classes there. You know where it's not hard to do that? At Florida. With all the talent-rich, you know, state that, that Florida has, you deal with Miami, who seems to be back, and Florida State, who's, you know, always competitive, and, it's, you know, you got to fight them off for recruits as well as Alabama, Auburn, and Georgia. But if he had the money and the support behind him in Gainesville, I think Lane Kiffin could win at a high level in Florida. And, you know, I think they're a championship contender within a couple of years, especially if he's got the right quarterback and the right offense, which is a great offensive mind. And so I think it'd be great. I just think if Ole Miss, though, is willing to give him, you know, they said a certain Cignetti deal, $11.5 million a year. If they're able to give him that at Ole Miss, why would you leave? Because he could go 7-5 next year at Ole Miss, and nobody says a word. If he goes to Florida and goes 7-5, 7-5, 6-6, they're ready to run him out the door. So yes, while Florida has more resources, more money, more everything, it's also more pressure. Whereas at Ole Miss, they'll love him for the rest of his years. You know, even if he never makes a playoff, as long as he wins 8, 9, 10 games a year at Ole Miss, they're going to love him.
Chris, I know that it's middle of football season. We've asked a couple basketball questions throughout the weeks as well. Haven't asked too many baseball questions, but have to get your thoughts on the Tony Vitello situation as the Giants make their way into the college level. He takes that job in San Francisco. And then Coach Kevin O'Sullivan taking the leave of absence from his coaching duties to address personal matters. Is that personal matters making a trip to Knoxville?
I don't think so. From what I've been told, that it's a family thing behind the scenes, and that it's not going to keep him out. You know, like he'll be back for the season and okay. All that. So I think you're fine there. The Tennessee thing though is very it's crazy because you know they loved him there. He was very successful there, won a national championship there, and you know it just seemed perfect and tailor fit for a college coaching job in the SEC with. You know, his vitriol and, you know, he was the lovable villain. I don't know if there was any bigger villain in SEC baseball than Tony Vitello. When he would come to town with his team, everybody loved to boo him and hate on him and yell at him. So he'll be missed. I don't know if he's going to be successful at the major league level. It is a completely different world when you're playing with or managing, you know, paid athletes at that level. It's why they call it a manager and not a coach. You're just managing the roster. So I don't know if that's going to work or not. And then the big question is, where does Tennessee go? You know, I've heard that the easy one is their associate head coach. You know, you just elevate him, you know, and you stay in-house and you just ride that thing out. So we'll see what they end up doing. But certainly a big loss for the SEC because he was a really good coach. And like I said, that guy that everybody loved to hate.
And as we let you go, Chris, here, one, of course, there's so many big games this weekend, and we'd love to get your thoughts, but we are running out of time. Do want to give the floor to you and tell us why Auburn-Arkansas is the biggest game of the year in the SEC because somebody's going to pick up their first conference win, and I'm sure you're just so confident in Auburn to figure it out offensively, right?
Well, I mean, something's got to give here. I mean, when you look at the rankings and, you know, Arkansas – their offense ranks fourth. Auburn's ranks 107th. You know, it's like if you told me right now Arkansas is going to score 30, I think Auburn loses. I think Auburn's got to score in the 20s. If you told me Auburn scores 20, I think they lose. So I think Auburn's going to have to score, you know, 24 or higher, and they're going to have to, you know, defense is going to have to do a good job against Taylen Green, who's having a great year offensively. So it's a big game also from a standpoint of, I just don't know how much longer Hugh can keep doing this. I know that there's been some buzz. Oh, they may just they'll give him to the end of the year. They're not ready to run him out and all this, but you know, just how it would look, right? The optics of losing 5-0-5 in the SEC, 5 losses in a row. I think those optics come Monday morning. I just wonder if the decision makers would say, "All right, let's rip the cord here and let's pull the plug." So If he wins, there's a chance he can rally the troops and maybe finish strong, and maybe 6-6 is still in play.
Thank you. 6-6. That's making a bowl game is the goal, right,
that's
Chris?
All we asked
that's
for.
All.
Hey, he said that in the offseason. The goal is to make a bowl game.
Oh, I mean, even that's a stretch at this point. So thankfully those on the outside don't have hope for Auburn either, and that's why we talk to Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC every single week. No, we appreciate you, my friend. Always a great time catching up with you and talking the biggest news in the SEC. Tell the folks what you got going on with Locked On SEC.
Yeah, Locked On SEC, wherever you get your podcasts. We got our great conversation up today with our buddy Chris Marler, previewing all the games this weekend and some fun interviews we've had throughout the week talking about life after Billy Napier and a whole lot more. So, yeah, check it out. Locked On SEC.
Guest picker tomorrow?
Yes. We are waiting to hear back from him, a former SEC quarterback who got a monster win 15 years ago this month.
Who was it last week, Chris?
Last week was Will from Big Brother 27.
Yeah,
reality fans out there.
Yeah, Christian, obviously an everydayer, loyal listener to Locked On SEC. So
I forget to watch on Saturdays, but I watch Monday through Friday.
Chris, we appreciate you, my friend. We'll talk to you again next Thursday.
All right, fellas, don't bet on basketball.
Just college basketball. Chris Gordy, Locked On SEC. Check him out on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. We'll take a break, come back, and wrap it up here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. Stick around.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. Online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Winding down here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Been a great show today. Had a lot to go over. We hit on a bunch of it between high school football, college football, gambling schemes, and things going on all over the place. Pretty wild stuff. And so if you missed any of today's show, we had Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network join us, had head coach Keith Etheridge of Auburn High School Football join us, and just got off the phone with Chris Gordy of the Locked On SEC podcast. So three wonderful guests. If you missed any of those guys or any of our other conversations on the show today, you could check them out. Or check all of that out on our podcast version of the show. We just take the audio, put it on our station website for you at ESPNAU.com.
And how wild is it now on social media? I was showing you during one of the breaks that you're having people that are having to respond and reply from a tweet that they made in like 2022 about like, I'm at a Chauncey Billups poker invitational that was hosted by this group and this group that are now having to come out and make formal statements of, this was not a wagering event. I did not put money in. I did not walk away with any money. This was strictly a charity event. And you're having multiple people come out and have the need to defend themselves from a tweet almost 4 years ago.
I mean, how deep is this going to go? How big is this going to get? How serious? I mean, it already is.
You're going to be able to find stuff from every single year. If you truly tried. And for all you know, if that's HQ, if that was the headquarters and the start of it, oh my gosh, I can only imagine the branch outs that you get in every single sport, every single event, much less the biggest ones of the year, or if they try and do it on those casual. Again, that's why we feel like the NBA is going to be hit the hardest, because you play so many games and half of them nowadays aren't televised, and you play Tuesday night at 5:30, nobody's watching or paying attention to that game. So you just slide that right into the picture. I mean, it's wild where this is going to go. And like what we said, in 2-3 years, they're going to be able to make the greatest Netflix documentary ever about just this in itself. And then 3 years from that, it's going to be part two about everything else that they've continued to find out. And we already let sports control our lives. I mean, why not let it control it even more?
Yeah, I'm with you. Lots of crazy stuff going on there. So, again, thanks so much for being along for the ride today. If you missed it, check it out, ESPNAU.com. Tomorrow, Free For All Friday, we'll start the show with Lee Sterling. of Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com. We'll talk more Auburn, Arkansas. Plus, we'll make picks for the 10 biggest games around the country this weekend. That's all coming up tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, he's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.